Let me read, if I may, a couple of verses from 1 Peter chapter 2. And it's on page 1152 in the Church Bibles, page 1152. 1 Peter chapter 2, and beginning at verse 4. Peter writes to his friends, "As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human beings, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Now, we all know those people who have really helped and encouraged us. We all know those people who, when we go to parties, we think, oh, great, he or she is there. They're always friendly, and I don't know anyone else here. I'll make them. We all know those people, too, who, when things aren't going right, you really want to have around you because they're calm, they're encouraging, they're fantastic. And as you know, I spend quite a lot of my evening saying grace at various events around the square mile, and we had an event recently where I was saying grace. It got some unexpected publicity because we were invaded by climate change protesters halfway through dinner, which slightly threw the Chancellor of the Exchequer off his step for a few moments. But of course, before then, before we go through to dinner, there's always lots of photographs of the VIPs, which never includes me, and a kind of VIP reception. We had the normal stuff. Everyone else was going through to dinner, and there are a few of us left watching those who were important being photographed. And, I was there, the vicar, and with me, not being photographed, all kinds of bag carriers, comms people, etc., for the Chancellor, the Governor of the Bank of England, and one or two other VIPs. They were obviously kind of making their numbers with each other because they thought, I never know when you might be helpful. So I stood there alone, a late middle-aged Church of England vicar. They were obviously thinking, why do they have a vicar around here? I thought, you'll find that out very soon. And anyway, they were helpfully ignoring me, so I sipped away at my glass of water to make sure I was able to be ready to say grace. I'd done it a few times before at this particular dinner. And we all carried on. Photographs ended. We were all there and, lots of excitement, that kind of thing. And just as we were about to go through to dinner, Mark Carney came over and said, in the type of voice that people heard, "Hi, Jeremy, it's good to see you. Are you ready for your part?" I said, "I am." "Nervous, of course." He said, "You've done it so many times before. We have complete confidence in you." I purred, but tried to look humble. He said, "Do you know the Chancellor?" And what I wanted to say was, "Not very well." But of course, the truth was, I'd never met him in my life. pride keeps me humble. Anyway, when they moved on, of course, all these smart young bag carriers came over, introduced themselves. I tried to look humble, thinking, gotcha. But it's really interesting the difference a person can make in our lives. And if we were interviewing the Apostle Peter here today, which would be very unlikely, of course, because he's been dead, but changed him and changed his life completely. As a result of meeting Jesus, he left his job. Not that I'm recommending that. I want to underline that at all costs today. What he thought of as important in his life was turned upside down. His faith in God, which was typical of his contemporaries, was radically reshaped. Or probably reshaped radically would be better English, wouldn't it? Because of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. So writing to his friends in Rome, 30, 35 years after the resurrection, he didn't want them to miss out on all he had experienced because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But he also didn't want them to slip into the belief that being a Christian was all about hard work. He knew the people he was writing to. He knew they already had sufficient hassles, quite enough pressure in their lives. And what he was desperate to say in these verses is, being a Christian is not all about hard work, about trying to get it right all the time. And at the start of verse 4, Peter focused on their relationship with the Lord Jesus. Come to him, Peter wrote to them. Be committed to engaging with him. Allow him to speak and encourage and change. But Peter didn't leave them simply with this big picture agenda. He wanted them to know exactly how this could happen. And the word of invitation here, translated come to him, is actually a rather odd word, and it has a particular emphasis. Elsewhere in the New Testament, and mainly in the letter to the Hebrew Christians, a couple of letters before this, it refers to when the people of God begin to worship. In order to engage with the Lord Jesus in the way that Peter wanted his friends to be able to do, in order to encounter him, to receive more of what he wanted his people to experience, they needed to come to him in worship. And Peter then outlined some of what they could expect from Jesus when they began to engage in worship, the different ways in which the Lord wanted to bless them. In verse 5, he describes them as living stones, a term in the previous verse he'd applied to Jesus. And like Jesus, those humble Christians in first century Rome, scattered in small house churches round the city, needed to know that just as Jesus was described as chosen and precious to God, they too were chosen to God by God. There was nothing accidental about their faith. They too, like Jesus, were precious to the Father. And that is part of what the Holy Spirit wants to remind you and me about. Every time we worship, you've been chosen. You're precious. And as they worshiped in their groups, they would sense God building a spiritual house, using them as the materials for this spiritual house. And a house, of course, is where someone lives. And Peter's saying, as you gather together as a group of people, and as you worship, God builds this spiritual house. He will come and live in your midst. They and we are to be those who, as we worship, have a heightened awareness of being in the presence of God, of engaging with him when we focus on him in worship. He builds our confidence as people who want to live as Christians in the city, encouraging us because we're chosen and because we're precious and because we know he's there encouraging us to pray about what really matters to us at the moment, being bold in what we ask of him. We're living stones. We're a spiritual house. Our Christian faith often challenges the way we live, challenges our assumptions and our reactions. But Jesus doesn't want to add to life's pressures. He wants to change it. He wants to change how we feel. He wants to change our experience of him. He wants to encourage us when we're feeling hesitant. I don't want to especially because some of the banter here, make an equivalence between God and the governor of the Bank of England, because I think the latter would be very embarrassed by that. But as he made a difference, so God wants to make a difference with you and me. And it's as we worship, even with technical problems, we realize afresh that he chose us, values us, wants us to experience his presence, trust him enough to be honest with him. What's happening to you today?